back on the Fast Lane across the Virginia Talk Radio Network. Bleacher Report NFL expert Matt Miller going to stop by with us in just a moment. Before he does, though, we'll let you know that if your significant other gave you a little extra time to watch the NFL draft over the weekend and took care of the kids while you did it, wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the mirror, thanks to mine, you need to call Jim Messier of Arthur's Jewelry in Centertown, Bedford, so that you can describe your significant other's tastes and make sure you get a treat that will bring that coveted smile back to your special someone's face. The man to help assist with that is Jim Messier, Arthur's Jewelry in Centertown, Bedford. Now, Matt Miller, Bleacher Report NFL expert with us here on the Fast Lane. Matt, we'll start off with a bang. America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, did they ace this draft the way that so many of the experts out there believe that Jerry Jones, yacht bound and all, did?
Yeah, I think they did a pretty great job, just to be honest. And we all sit here and say that, you know, when you say, oh, they had a great draft, that just means, based on where I have players ranked, they drafted them to good spots, and they filled a lot of team needs. And CeeDee Lamb in the first round is just a smart pick, especially when it comes out a couple of days after that Amari Cooper has no guaranteed money in his contract after 2021. So really smart team building by Jerry Jones, by Stephen Jones, by Will McClay, their head of personnel. So they did a good job. And then to get Trevon Diggs in the second, I thought he would have been a first-round pick. Even Bradley and I, they got in the fifth round, a second-round grade on Bradley and I. So, yeah, it's not often that we sit here the weekend or the week after the draft and say, man, look what Dallas did. But they really did have a good draft this year.
You mentioned all of that and how the entire structure changes. The key element, I would say, in your comment is on Amari Cooper and his contract structure. Are we looking at a scenario, given how the negotiations are going with Dak Prescott, and we may see Deshaun Watson get a new deal before then, and obviously the market keeps getting reset. Certainly Patrick Mahomes will be in his own tax bracket pretty soon. But where Dallas is looking at cost-cutting measures and CeeDee Lamb, while people ooze at many years of it being CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, that he may end up evolving into their number one receiver, is you got to cut costs somehow.
Right. I think people forget that when you're talking about building a football team. It's not just about, can we get the 53 best players? It's how can we get 53 players while being financially responsible? I think the salary cap is a little bit of a myth. I mean, you can manipulate it, but you still have to stay within the framework of the cost guidelines that are given by the league. So you want to, you know, you got Amari Cooper for 2 years, it looks like. And then after that, if you want to roll a Michael Gallup or CeeDee Lamb, or even if it's CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb or someone else, I mean, you have to turn your roster over consistently. You know, we remember Seattle. They built that Legion of Boom defense. Nobody could move the ball on them. And we saw that roster fall apart. Guys got hurt. Guys regressed. And then some people played themselves and priced themselves out of the situation. So it's smart to, you can come into the draft and say, these are the five biggest needs for the Dallas Cowboys. They're not always going to check those five needs off. And that's okay, because they're looking sometimes at the long-term plan, not just the short-term.
Well, I mean, how often do people get confused about that when looking at graphs? And obviously, you know, you've got your way too early 2021 projection. In theory, couldn't you even say that, you know, we love to grade drafts afterwards, but couldn't you say that it takes, what, 2 to 3 years to really start to crystallize an opinion on these drafts? And that's why the smartest teams are often making selections knowing that it's not likely to be a significant year one impact.
Absolutely. You're always looking 3 years down the road. I mean, I've been doing this long enough to remember Robert Griffin III being the Rookie of the Year. You know, and then you're like, what happened? I remember Trent Richardson getting almost 1,000 yards rushing as a rookie, and we're like, okay, here we go. Guys fall apart, and it happens. Sometimes players flash early, and they never get back to that point. And sometimes players don't flash early, and then they develop and become something really special. So, you know, I think after one season, a lot of people would have said, look at Mitchell Trubisky from the 2017 quarterback class. And now it's like, oh, wait, Patrick Mahomes was the number 10 pick, and he's pretty good. So it is all about patience. And, you know, internally for teams, they believe they get picks right. You know, they have done all the evaluation. They think they got a home run hitter in CeeDee Lamb. But it is truly about, okay, he's going to be able to help in 2020. It's not just, you know, that this is for the future. You're going to get an impact now. And your hope is that in 2 years, you have your number one wide receiver.
Speaking of, you know, there are franchises or rare cases where you've got a pretty good inkling of somebody making an immediate impact, and Washington fans hope that's the case with their stud defensive end, Chase Young. Tell me if I'm off base in this. This one kind of just hit me earlier. I don't know if he's quite as technically proficient as the Bosa brothers, but, you know, worst case scenario, he ends up being a Jadeveon Clowney who still is very talented, and best case scenario, he's a consistent all-pro. Is that reasonable, or do you see it differently?
No, that's reasonable. I compared him to Myles Garrett. I think that, as you said, he's not as technically proficient, but I think his first-step quickness is a little bit better than either Bosa brother. He also doesn't have an injury history, and I love Nick and Joey. They're fantastic, but both came into the NFL a little banged up. Chase Young has not. And so that's where you look at his tape and his scouting report and say, gosh, even Jadeveon Clowney was banged up coming into the NFL. You know, Myles Garrett, there were questions about, and I think they were foolish, but there were questions about effort. You know, he kind of dialed some plays back. With Chase Young, it's just like, my goodness, this guy does everything. And sure, he could probably play the run a little bit better, but I think you're getting real picky if that's what you're splitting hairs about. So I do. I think he'll be a double-digit sack player as a rookie. I think he's going to be a fantastic player. Can't imagine any reason that he wouldn't become an all-pro level player.
At NFL Draft Scout for Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, who's joining us here on the Fast Lane, looking back at this past NFL draft. Matt, the rest of the Redskins, do they have enough with the Chase Young addition to have a defense that can bail out an offense that, you know, is starting to add some talented pieces, but obviously still has lingering questions, including at the most important positions, quarterback and offensive line?
I think that's what you're hoping for, is that this can be a San Francisco 2.0. You know, you have a great defensive line that can bolster an okay offense. You're going to get big plays from Terry McLaurin. You're going to get big plays from Antonio Gibson. You know, obviously, trading Trent Williams is huge. They needed to get rid of that, though. And the player they drafted on the fourth round, Sadiq Charles, is a good left tackle coming out of LSU. So I think that's the hope, is that this secondary and the pass rush will be good enough. But the secondary is largely new. I mean, they added Sean Davis. They added Kendall Fuller, even though he was there in the past. They added Lionel Derby. So I think if we don't get a big training camp, a preseason run, which is important, right? These guys got to gel. You got to build chemistry. It could be a team that struggles a little bit. I think that's why they bring in Kyle Allen, who's very familiar with Ron Rivera, who's familiar with Scott Turner, because if there's not that big lead up to the season, you're going to need somebody who can get out there and play early, because with Haskins, I mean, we're all hoping that he becomes the player that they drafted in the first round, but I think the signs last year were pretty uneven.
At NFL Draft Scout, to follow Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, who's with us here on the Fast Lane, you referenced the unevenness right there. Intrigued because you just released your 2021 way too early NFL draft projection, and you've based it on this year's slots for teams, which means Cincinnati 1, Washington 2. Removing that element of it, and it can be found, of course, at bleacherreport.com, if Washington's picking in the top 2 to 3 next year, they've got to be looking at a quarterback, right?
You would think so, and I did not have them go quarterback just for this reason, because they have, they did invest a first-round pick in Dwayne Haskins, and I know it was a different regime. They also trade for Kyle Allen. So it's that, would they be looking at a quarterback? Probably in the quarterback class, looks like it's going to be good with Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance at North Dakota State, Justin Fields at Ohio State. Looks like it's going to be a good quarterback class, but it's just, you don't know yet. You know, if they're picking number 2, which is where the Super Bowl odds have them right now, you would think they might be going quarterback, but I think anything's possible. You know, they need another receiver opposite Terry McLaurin. So does someone like Ja'Marr Chase intrigue them? If Sadiq Charles doesn't, who is a fourth-round pick, he doesn't work out at left tackle. Do they go after a Penei Sewell from Oregon, who looks like one of the best offensive tackle prospects that's come out in the last decade? So they're going to have options, if they manage to earn the number 2 spot again, and the quarterback play is at least promising, they're going to definitely have options of other directions they could go.
And you mentioned Carolina, who you've got taking Trey Lance, who a lot of our listeners are familiar with because he's torched JMU as North Dakota State's starting quarterback.
Right.
And we know North Dakota State has put out a number of pro players, including Carson Wentz, who obviously is in the headlines because of how Philadelphia just drafted a quarterback. But you mentioned Carolina in that. Your outlook for Carolina, is it a limited ceiling because of Teddy Bridgewater or what Matt Rhule did in the draft? Is it enough for us to sit there and go, wow, maybe this team's going to overachieve a little bit more and they've got a quarterback that doesn't have a lot of upside but clearly seems to know how to manage a team and a roster well?
Yeah, actually, I'm a Teddy Bridgewater fan. I mean, I think going 5-0 with the Saints, that's a very nice offensive system and they have a lot of weapons. I think that intrigues you, you know, that you find that encouraging. So I don't think the ceiling is super limited. I mean, their defense is going to be good. Brian Burns, Derek Brown, they're going to be aggressive. I mean, they spent all 7 picks on defense in Carolina. So I think that that's a good team, and that division is really tough. I mean, Tampa Bay now has Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. The Saints are the Saints. They're always going to be good. And then the Falcons even, you know, having a good draft loaded up on offense and defense in the first round. So I think that, you know, the NFC South is going to be tough as a whole. It might put Carolina in the fourth spot, which might put them in play for a Trey Lance next year. But you know, they're committed to Bridgewater for at least this season, and I think after that you kind of reevaluate everything on the fly.
At NFL Draft Scout, to follow Matt Miller of Bleacher Report here on the Fast Lane. Matt, we'll wrap up our chat with you today going real quick, about 30 seconds, 5 different players, all with the Commonwealth of Virginia ties, having gone to school here and going to different pro destinations. If you're cool with this, we'll start off last part of the draft. Ben DiNucci, JMU quarterback, we mentioned that school earlier, goes to the Dallas Cowboys. Good situation for him where he can back up and learn from Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, Kellen Moore was an offensive mind and someone who played the quarterback position, you know, very, very well in college. This is a good spot for Ben. And I think behind Dak, you know, 7th-round pick, there's going to be no pressure on him. And this is more, give Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy a little bit of a project to work with. So I'm excited for Ben. I thought he would be more of an undrafted free agent. It's great that he got to, you know, hear his name called. But, you know, I think his movement ability, his accuracy, he's got a shot to carve out a career, and then we'll see what happens. You know, if he wants to follow in Kellen Moore's footsteps and become a coach after that, then I think that's definitely something he'd excel at.
Bryce Hall goes to the New York Jets. Injuries, how much of a factor did that play in his draft slide?
Enormous. I had him at 66 overall on my board, so for him to fall to 158, it's all about that injury. That ankle injury was tough. It was really, really tough, and I think before that, he wasn't the fastest guy before the injury, so you start to worry about that. And we got a dude who, you know, snapped a tibia and a fibula, and he wasn't fast before that. What are things going to look like? And it might be a redshirt season coming for him, but he's a good player.
Next up, from in our backyard, Joe Reed, Randolph-Henry High School, UVA, Chargers. Fit for them, especially with his special teams ability as a kick returner. How do you rate that?
I love Joe Reed. I was tweeting before the draft that whoever got him, I was going to be a fan of that team because he is explosive. Whether it's as a returner, which, you know, obviously I think 5 career return touchdowns and a crazy average per return, but also what he does in the slot as a receiver, you know, that short, stocky body. He's quick. He's got great open field speed. He's a very good fit here. The Chargers need someone like this. I mean, obviously Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are the guys there, but they like to throw that slot receiver, and I think he's got a chance to make himself a role there, not just as a returner, but as something a little bit more than that.
And ironically, he'll be catching passes in all likelihood at the start from former Virginia Tech Hokie Tyrod Taylor. Speaking of the Hokies, another former Hokie drafted higher than expected, Dalton King, goes 3rd round to the New England Patriots. They do a lot of 2 tight end sets, but also Devlin, the fullback, retires. What's the role that he'll be facing with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels?
Yeah, I think everything. I think that's what they're going to use him. Like you said, he's going to play some tight end. He's going to play H-back. He's going to play fullback, I think, with Devlin retiring. And also, they drafted Devlin as CSC in the 3rd round. So they had 2 tight ends in the 3rd round with Devlin from UCLA, a bit more of an inline guy. So I bet we see Dalton King moving all over the formation. And, you know, the Patriots had a lot of success previously with 2 tight ends, you know, who were both very, very prolific. So I think Bill Belichick's trying to get back to those ways. And let's run the ball, let's be physical, and we'll attack the middle of the field with a young quarterback. So I'm excited to see how they use Dalton because I think his versatility was one of his biggest selling points.
Last question for Bleacher Report's Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. That, of course, your evaluation of the Washington Redskins selecting former Liberty Flames star wide receiver and Rubik's Cube specialist Antonio Gandy-Golden.
I love the catch radius for him. You know, a great story. Very, very good, you know, ability to get down the field. I saw him at the Senior Bowl and was blown away. But I really thought that this dude was going to be, you know, kind of a skinny kid who didn't have a lot of the nuances of the position down. But you know, his route running was good, was really good. And I was excited about what he is as a raw prospect. He's still figuring things out, you know, from route running to filling out his frame. So I'm a big fan of his. I think he's going to have a really nice career.
Matt Miller with us here on the Fast Lane at NFL Draft Scout and BleacherReport.com. Matt, appreciate your time and your insight. We'll hold you to those way too early projections for the 2021 mock draft.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
It's our pleasure. Matt Miller with us here on the Fast Lane. When we come back, some other insight and analysis in to AGG, who's going to Washington. We'll weigh in on that more. And, of course, you're always welcome to chime in, too. Fast Lane, Ned Lane, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Stay tuned.